like to take a reading this morning from the psalmist, Psalms 119, and begin the reading at verse 9, and I want to read from 9 till verse 24. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119. And verse 9 we read, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountiful with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." We'll just ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for this word, Lord. And we know, Lord, it's not anybody's word. It's your word. And we know this morning that it's forever settled in heaven. And Lord, you never had to change it. And it remains the same. And Lord, we thank you this morning that we can come so boldly into this house and into your presence. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll draw near to each dear soul and minister to us. And Lord, I ask for your help this morning also, Lord. I need you. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. Lord, I confess that I'm just depending upon you, Lord. And Lord, all of us are depending upon you in this room, I believe. Lord, we just ask for your help now to close us in with yourself as we would come round your word. And let it be the authority upon all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats this morning, and just in case I would forget to say it, the men have asked me to announce that next week we're going to lift an offering in the morning time for the pastor as a Christmas gift. That'll be next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, and I think it would be a good time. The men sort of decided not to leave it too close to Christmas. So, the Lord willing, next Sunday morning we'll be lifting an offering for the pastor. As usual, we lift an offering, but next Sunday morning it'll be for Brother Tom, and the Lord bless him. You know, I think it was good this morning that our sister Carl took the opportunity to give a short word of testimony. And you know, it's good to recognize and to speak with our lips the things that the Lord has done. And you know, it's great that we can come into the house of the Lord and just share with one another and meet with the Lord. And you know, this morning I haven't a great sermon, if that's a haven't a lot of things to say, and I'm not going to take up a lot of time this morning. And you know, I always say that, and I always take up too much time. But I'm going to try to stick till a time this morning and don't be long-winded. And I was sort of tossed between what I would try to speak about this morning, and I was thinking about words. First of all, I was thinking about words, and talking about words. And I maybe wouldn't be a great candidate to speak about words, for I can hardly say the words, some of the words. I can hardly get my tongue around them. But then, you know, there's God's word, and it's the greatest word. And also, I was thinking about sanctification. And another great word, truth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you know, I just want to drop this in. It's nothing to do with a sermon, maybe. But I believe if you have a song, you mightn't have a testimony that you want to give, but you might have a song you want to sing. And I want to encourage you to sing. Now, I have maybe spoke briefly to some people about singing, and that's okay. But I want to encourage you to sing. And I want to say, if you're going to sing, it's just something that you do. But I believe also, a good time to sing is just before the preacher comes. Now, why do I say that? I say that because it creates an atmosphere for the preacher to preach. Now, I need to refer to God's word. Now, I just wanted to drop that in. It creates an atmosphere. And you know, even her sister giving a small testimony creates an atmosphere. Now, I don't want anyone to take the wrong meaning out of this. But you know, sometimes we can come into a meeting, we can come into the presence of the Lord or into the house of the Lord, and then we seem to be drawn near to the Lord, or we seem to be approaching unto the Lord. And then we have a break. Now, I know it has to be done. I couldn't do it any better. But I'm only suggesting sometimes we maybe could do it a wee bit different. Now, this morning I believe that was very good. Not only do I believe it was very good, but I believe it was off the Lord. But you see, we left an offering. I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm not saying that. But you can break the atmosphere. It's a change, you see. You're changing. And you're coming into the presence of the Lord. Now, maybe I'm a Quaker. But you're coming into the presence of the Lord, and then you stop to lift an offering, and you have changed. You've changed gear, in a sense. And then also, now, God, Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. But then we bring the children up and bless their hearts. They have to say a verse. And if they forget that verse, we stir them out.
That's it.
We stare them out.
That's right.
And it's not. Do you see, if you're going to make a mistake, you'll make it when somebody's watching
That's
you.
Right.
Now, this is not this is what I'm doing here. This is not preaching. I don't know what it is. But I'm only saying, you see, Brother Gary does a good job. Everybody here does a good job. I'm not saying anybody's doing a bad job, But let us just come into the house of the Lord if we can and worship Him. Now, I didn't say that, but that's the other thing that I was thinking about, worship. And I wonder what God really thinks of our worship. I wonder what He thinks, I wonder what God thinks. Now you see, we maybe have an opinion ourselves. What's God's opinion? Is God really pleased? Is the Lord really, really, really pleased with our worship? Now, I'm not here to condemn you. No way am I going to condemn anybody. I could never condemn anybody in this room, because if you think you're guilty, I'd be more guilty. But I'm only trying to help us to express ourselves in worship. And express ourselves in sanctification. Now, I need to move on. I need to try to say something here from God's Word. And what I've said already, I want it to bless you. I don't want it to rebuke you. I don't want it to say we're doing wrong. Now, you say, John, tell me about it. I can't really. All I can say is sometimes when you feel the Spirit of the Lord moving on the meeting, try to keep it going. That's maybe what I should say. Try to keep that flow. Try not to break the flow. You say, John, what are you doing? Do you know what I'm saying? Because I believe that's when the Holy Ghost starts to move. Now, that's even what I said there is wrong. The Holy Ghost never stops moving. But that's whenever we know the Holy Ghost is among us and moving. Praise His holy name. Now, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your undivided attention, listening to me, trying to tell you how to do something that I hardly know how to do myself. Now, I don't want to sound critical this morning. Praise the Lord. Let me say, the psalmist David was under the anointing when these words were spoke and when these words were written. He was anointed of God. He wasn't only anointed of God, he was called of God, and he was a prophet. And he had, thus saith the Lord. Now, he talks here in verse 9 and he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We live in a day whenever there's no respect among the majority of people for God's word. The majority of people today have lost respect for the Word of God. They look upon it as if it's something that was away back thousands of years ago. They look upon it as something that's away back in the time of maybe Genesis, or not even, they don't even recognize Genesis. Today, you know, the Word of God's not really recognized in the world. And we see media today, we see newspaper reporters, we see writers today, we see a lot of men who are well educated, and you know, that doesn't do them a lot of harm, but they have forgot the Word of God. And the Word of God seems to be, what would you say, declined with them. They want to put it in the decline. They want to say it's not modern. It's not the trend. You know, About 30 years ago, there was a new word developed. It wasn't a new word. It was a, what would you say? It was an abbreviation of a word. I'm going to tell you what it was. I maybe told you this before, but I'm going to tell you it again. It became a slang word. Do you know what that word is? That word is the word die. Now, an old man now about purchasing something to buy something. Instead of goodbye, it was abbreviated for bye. 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 And I noticed it first when I rang the quarry looking at a load of stones. And the woman in the office. Now, no disrespect to that woman, but that woman, when she ended the conversation with me, she said, bye. That came in about, I think about 30 years ago. Maybe it was 35 years ago. You see the way the time just gets in or flies in. But you see, there was an abbreviation of a word. Now, I know whenever I was before I started school, nobody said bye. Everybody said goodbye. Do you know the word goodbye, what it means? It means God be with you. Now, whenever I say to you, God be with you, what am I saying to you, maybe in an abbreviation? I'm saying to you, the word of God be with you. Because if you want God to be with you, you have to have the word with you. And if you get away from the word, you're going to get away from God. And if you close the word out of your vocabulary, if you close the word out of your speaking and your talking, you're going to close God out. Now this generation closed God out many a time, but one of the ways they've done that was to start to leave him out of their conversation. And instead of saying goodbye, they started to say bye. Why did they want to say bye? They wanted to say bye because the word bye was cool. Cool. A young man said to me one day, I said something to him about what he was saying and what he was doing, and he said, I'm doing that because it's cool. It's cool. It's cool to do that. It's good. It's cool for the hair to stand on your head. My hair stands on my head. It's getting thinner, but it stands on my head, and I try to make it go down. And it's cool. But I said to that young man, if you really want to be cool, the graveyard is the coolest place you can go to. Go to the graveyard. That's a cool place. But we see, the psalmist said here, wherewithal? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, thank God for his word. You see, this word, it's a cleaner. This word's a cleanser. This word isn't only a cleaner and a cleanser, but it's the next step up. It's a sanctifier. What does that mean? The word sanctified means to be set apart for God's use. Set apart for God's use. Now today, you see, people deny the word. People deny the word today. You know, the devil wants you to deny the word. He wants you to think this word is not important. Now, let me say this. There's no cleansing outside of the word. Jesus said, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Hallelujah. He didn't only say that. He said that he's prayed to his Father, and we maybe come to that, and you know, oh, I'm not doing too bad with time. He prayed to his Father, and he said to his Father that he had given them whom had given him thy word, and he had declared the Father's name unto them. Now, you see, just the other day, and I'm not blaming anybody individually. This is worldwide problem. People have got away from God's word. Got away from the word of God. They've turned away from the word. Why are they turned away from the word? They think they've a better way. They think they know more. They don't have that respect. And it affects all our, every one of us is affected by it. Everyone's involved. Everyone's affected by it. People turning away from the word of God. And you know, the TV promotes sin and unbelief. Sin and unbelief go hand in hand. But faith and belief goes hand in hand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You see, it's the opposite. Now, just till in passing, maybe some of us saw the news there the other day, and there was a quick flash on it about that man. And I always like to watch his programs. Was it Clive James? And most of the people in here is too young to remember Clive James. But he was a television presenter, and I think he was born in Australia, and he had been all over the world, and he would have done programs, and like a documentary program, or it was informative what he would have done. And he would have interviewed certain people. But he just passed away there last week. And he had reached quite an age. He was in his 80s, I'm led to believe. I think I'm right when I say that he was 80 years old and more. And he actually had got a bit of trouble with cancer, and he survived that. But, you know, I think he really let himself down bodily, and I just heard a quick quote on it, and I didn't really investigate it, but I heard him a quick quote that he was meant to say, and they said that how that he enjoyed life and how that he had been a great man. And he said that life in itself was a wonderful thing. And he said, but there's no hell, and also there's no heaven. When you die, that's it. And you see, well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But we know that's not true. We know that's false. And you see, the way sometimes too, like, do you know what I said to my wife? Now, I know you'll be right if you say I'm crazy. But I said to my wife, anything that you see on the TV or any person that they start to come on, especially the BBC, and lift them up there somewhere, you'll know that they weren't up to much if they exalt them. But you see, if they put them down here and never mention them, you know they must have been worth something. Now, no disrespect to that man. The Lord knows where he is today. The Lord knows where he is today. Now, I need to move on here. I've written down here, and it would be a great title for a sermon if somebody would really get into it. And this is what I've written down. Now, I need to read the rest of this here. I need to read a bit more of this here. I'll read verse 10. I'll read you verse 10, and then I'll read what I've written down here. The psalmist said in verse 10, pardon me, With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Now listen, this is what I have written down. When we have God's word in our hearts, our lips will declare all of God's judgments, what the Lord has spoken. Now I need to read you verse 13, and if you can follow with me, brother, thanks, brother, for having that up. Verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Amen. With my lips have I declared all the judgments that the Lord has spoke. With my lips have I spoke what God has spoke. Now let me say this, if you want to have faith, say what God says. If you want to have the power of God, say what God says. If you want to have the power of man, say what man says. And if you want to have sin and unbelief, say what the devil says. But if you want to have God's power, stay with the word. And say what God says. Now, how do you say what God says? I'm going to tell you what I believe, and I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches. Get the word of God into your heart. Get the word of God into your heart.
Absolutely.
Jesus said, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. So get the word of God into your heart. Let me tell you, it's very important that you have read the Bible.
Amen.
Now, listen to what Smith Wigglesworth said about reading the Bible. You know what he said about reading the Bible? He said, when you read the Bible, pray first of all before you read it, and when you read it, read the Bible out loud to yourself. Read the Bible out loud to yourself. And somebody said to him, why do you say that? You know what he said? He said, the Bible says, Jesus said, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you hear, why he wants to take the reading of this book out of the schools.
Yes.
That's why he wants to tell you you come from a monkey.
Right.
He wants to pervert the truth. You know, Satan could never create nothing. All he can do is take something that God made and try to pervert it. Try to make it a lie. Didn't he come in the garden and say to Eve, hath God said? Half is an element of doubt. It's not half God said, it is God has said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you see, Psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee. He had sought the Lord with everything that was within him. He had sought the Lord the best way he knew how. He had sought the Lord with all of his effort. He had made every effort to find God. He had sought the Lord with his whole heart. He was hungry for God. Do you know what we need? We need a hunger for God. We need a hunger for God. We need to be hungering for God. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled."
Glory.
Shall be filled. Show me a man or show me a woman that's hungry for God, and I'll tell you, they'll be filled. They'll meet God. God will meet with them. And the psalmist said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord." And he says, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." He said, "Let me not wander from thy commandments." I tell you, what way has the world wandered? You know, in general, the commandments today, people just say, "Oh, that was then. But you don't need me to tell you, you know the way the world is." They've just forsaken the Lord. You know, I remember a man saying to me the time that that tsunami came back a few years ago, and he had saw the TV, and there was a baby washed down past the camera crew. Wherever they were, they had zoomed in on this baby, and the baby was floating on top of the sea. And the man says to me, he says, "John, whenever I seen that," he says, John, when I seen that, I said, "God, where are you now?" That's what he said. He said, "God, where are you now?" And in other words, he made it appear, "God, what do you think you're doing?" I'll tell you, you know what I said to him? I says, "Someday you'll get the chance to stand before him. Someday you'll get the chance and you'll stand before God. But," I says, "I'm going to tell you something." I says, "When you stand before him, you'll not be asking the questions." I says, "He'll ask the questions." And I says, "You'll be trying to give the answer. I tell you." But you see, people haven't got it in their heart. They haven't got it in their heart no more. They haven't got it in their heart to say, "Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, I'm a sinner." They haven't got this word in their heart. You see, the psalmist said here in verse 13, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Not his own mouth. God's mouth. You see, the psalmist didn't always say what he was saying. He was under inspiration from God. He was anointed. But he wasn't interested in his own words. He was interested in God's words. God's word. Let me say, there's a power of God's word. There's a power of God's word that no other word has. There's a power of this book that no other book has. Without a shadow of a doubt, this Holy Bible is the greatest book on earth. There's no substitute for this book. There's no other book that can take its place. This is the absolutely authority of God's word. This is God. And what do we read in the Gospel of John? We read, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." Hallelujah. That was none other than the Son of God. Now he was the Word of God. Absolutely the Word of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in my Lord. He was God in flesh. Jesus was God in flesh. Jesus was God in a man. He was the Son of God. Now, you know, we have all kinds of skeptics. We have all kinds of false teachers. We have all kinds of scientists and philosophers, or whatever you want a title that want to go under. But God was before them all. God made them all. He's the creator. Without him, there was not anything made that was made. It's not good to know that he's the creator. But here, the psalmist said in verse 12, he says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." And you see, again, if children don't hear the word of God, and I want to talk to children for a moment. It's important that you hear the word of God when you're a child. Because if you hear the word of God when you're a child, you'll be taught the statutes of the Lord. What are the statutes of the Lord? The things that are true. The things that are true. The things that are important. The things that are good. But also, if you know the things that are good, you'll know the things that are bad. But today, you see, there's different kinds of teaching, maybe, or there's different ways to teach and all that. But the most important thing that we could ever teach anyone is the Word of God.
Amen.
God's Word. I believe that with all my heart. It's a parable. Now, I have to watch the time. I need to move on. But listen, the psalmist David said, "With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." In verse 15 he says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." That's the testimony that he had. He said, "I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy words." He said, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." You see, God has a way. How do we find it? We find it in his word. How do we do God's way? We do the word. We become doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I know I'm maybe a bit mixed up this morning, and I maybe haven't said very much. But I want to remind you again that this word of God will sanctify you. Now, I'm almost coming to a close here. And you know, I've only scratched the surface. I've only really scratched the surface about the word of God and about words or about sanctifying and about truth. But let me say this. The word of God is a sanctifier. There's nothing else, only the word of God that sanctifies. Nothing else. Outside of the word, no sanctification. There's no man-made set of rules that can sanctify you. It's the word of God that can sanctify you. And now, I want to relate a story to you. It's only a brief story in passing again. And just bear with me for a moment. And we're going to turn to John's Gospel. And we're going chapter 17, and as the Lord was praying, and he was talking to his heavenly Father, and it's a wonderful prayer that the Lord made here in John's Gospel, chapter 17. But let me say this, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself. God's word will sanctify you. God's word will clean you. God's word will set you apart, and God's word will make you fit to be a vessel unto honor that the Lord can use. Now I want to say that when Jesus spoke about worship, he spoke about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, the Lord was praying to his Father. Jesus was praying to the Father. And in chapter 17, and I'm going to read a few of these verses here, if you'll just listen and bear with me for a moment. I'm going to start to read from verse 4 of John's Gospel, chapter 17. And verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Now, the Lord finished the work. I'm glad for that. The Lord didn't fail. I heard a man on one time, and he was a Roman Catholic priest, and he was trying to console his people who had sinned. And he said, well, even Jesus Christ was a failure. Even Jesus Christ was a failure. Didn't read that in the Bible. He was never a failure. He was the greatest man that ever walked on this earth. And he was the greatest. He was the only man that could say, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. He said, there was no sign given to this generation save the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But the Lord finished the work, and I'm glad for that. And verse 5 we read, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now just in passing, Jesus said, I have manifested thy name. That was the name Jesus. But now that's a different sermon, it's a different subject. But the Father gave him his name. And his name was Jesus. And he said, I have come in my Father's name, and ye received me not. But if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now that's the Antichrist. Now the Lord came in his Father's name, and they said he had a devil and they didn't receive him. But we know he was the Son of God. And the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. You see, there's a keeping of the word. You need to keep the word. How do you keep the word? You stay with the word. You stay with it. You don't go off to the left, or you don't go off to the right. You stay with the word. They've kept the word. They haven't only kept the word, but they've believed the word. And verse 7 says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now there's a good one. They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Everything that Jesus done was of God. Everything that he said was of God. He never said anything that wasn't thus saith the Lord. Now, I know he could have had a breakfast conversation, as the saying is. He would have said good morning, or he would have said good evening, or he said good night. But you know what I mean? When Jesus spoke to somebody, it was thus saith the Lord. Amen. And he said that these people had kept the word, and he said they hadn't only kept the word, but they had believed the word, and believed that the things that Jesus done was of God. Now, I have to move on. Verse 8 says, for I have given unto them the words. I've given unto them the words which thou givest me. When you hear what Jesus says, you're hearing from God. And also, if you hear a man saying, thus saith the Lord, if he's a true prophet, you're hearing from God. And I believe that we hear from God in the 20th century through a true prophet of God. Now a true prophet of God will say what God says. Now if a man says something that God hasn't said, he's not a prophet. He's not a true prophet. He's a false prophet. And the Bible says you're to have no fear of him. But Jesus said, "For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me." Now the Lord said that the words that he spoke wasn't his words, but they were his Father's words. And he said, "And have known surely that I come out from thee, and have believed that thou didst send me." You see, when Peter said to the Lord, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord, his Father, the Lord said, "Your Father in heaven has revealed this to you. It hasn't come from man." And verse 9, the Lord said, "And I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father." Now just when I'm in verse 11, I want you to notice that there's only one Holy Father. And that's the Lord Almighty. That's the Lord God Almighty. There's not another Holy Father. There's only one. There only ever was one, and there only ever will be one. There'll never be two or three or half a dozen, or there's nobody else can succeed him. There's one Holy Father. Holy Father. And you see, people got away from the Word. That's why the thing is the way it is today. People have got away from the Word. Now, I have to move on. And it says, verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them." Now if you want the world to hate you, read the Bible. If you want your ungodly friends to hate you, read the Bible and quote the word. Get this word into your heart, get this word into you, you'll not be liked. And it says, "I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now this is the verse that I should have read. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You cannot part the word from the truth. And you cannot part the truth from the word. I'm going to say that again. You cannot part the word from the truth. And you cannot part the truth from the word. This word is true. God's word is true. And God's true. Now, you have listened very well. But I want to say, the purpose of this here is, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said that. The word of God will sanctify you through the truth. The word of God will sanctify you through the truth. And you see, when the word of God sanctifies you, you have the word of God in your heart, I believe. It'll sanctify you. It'll set you apart. You're marked. When you get the word of God in your heart, you're marked. The world knows there's something different about you. People look at you and they know there's something different about you. You know, it affects every walk of our life, the word of God. No word, no truth. No word, no cleansiness. No word, no sanctification. No word, you know what else? No true worship. No true worship. You know, the devil for years has been trying to destroy this book. He's been trying for years to destroy the Bible. He has got them to rewrite it and try to abbreviate it and make it more easy to understand. But but they've taken away some of the words of truth out of it. And one man drew to my attention that there's lots of places where they've took away the word Jesus. And they want to take the word Christ out of it. You see, they want to take away the deliverer out of it. They want to take away the power out of it if they can. But thank God for his word today. You know, the other Sunday morning, we had the TV on. And I'll just tell you this story. There's a man comes on there. I don't know if you've saw him on the TV, but he's on the TV and he's on channel 66. And he's an old man. He's called Joshua Daniel. And you may have seen him. Now I'll tell you, he's a wise preacher. He's a good preacher. He's an old man. But he brings the word from the Lord, I believe. He brings the truth. Now, he's not on the Chung. He's not on the God Chung, if that's the right name. Chung 65 in RTV is the TBN UK, where there's meant to be all this Christian believer talk. And you know, it might have been just last week. I try to watch that man. He's on at 8:30 on Sunday morning, and then he's on again later. But I usually try to watch him from 8:30 till 9:00, and it's just a half an hour. And it's called The Lord's Challenge. And he's on channel 66. If you want to tune in on it some morning, I believe he's worth the listening to. But then I turn back to channel 65. On channel 65, there was a lovely big building, all glass, all glass side in it, right up to the apex, right up to the ridge tide. And this church was all gathered and they were singing. First of all, they were singing a good old faithful hymn. I don't remember if it was Blessed Assurance or whatever, but it was a good old faithful hymn. And then while they sang, there was a group getting set up. And the group consisted of women and men. And there was a woman who was a lead singer who was going to lead the singing. And there was a choir came walking up through the middle of the church. And the youth choir. And I'm sure there was 50 people in it, in the youth choir alone, at least 50. And you know, all dressed like the world. And I'm going to drop that in. All dressed like the world. And then the hymn that we're singing came till an end. And then there was a man and woman who were like presenters. And they come along to welcome everybody, which was good. And they had a few announcements to make. And then they said they were handing over to this sister who was going to lead them in worship. Now, I'm sitting there and I'm watching this all and listening to it. And you know, when you get the word of God in your heart, it stays. When you get the word of God in your heart, it'll stay in your heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto unto thy word. But this young woman, she began to sing and there were, you know, there's no easy way to make it mellow it down, but to me it was just like a rock and roll group. That's just what it was. It was just the wrong thing, I believe. But she started to sing this song, and these are some of the words that I picked up in the song. And there was a line in the song, and this is what it said. And it was, they were talking about the Lord. You know what it said? It said, "You're too good to be true. You're too good to be true. You're too good to be true." You know, I heard that about people saying, said that boy's too good. That boy's too nice to your face. He's too sweet to your face. That boy's a gangster. I wondered, were they telling the Lord, I know you're too good to be true. You know, that's Antichrist.
That's right.
You're too good to be true. Jesus said, there's none good. He said, why do you call me good? There's none good save my Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Outside of him, there's no way. Outside of him, there's no truth. Outside of him, there's no life. But they started singing this, you're too good to be true. They didn't know what else was, in the song. It's really hard to believe. Now, it might be hard to believe, but that doesn't mean you don't believe. It might be hard to believe, but that doesn't mean that you don't believe, brother or sister. You still believe. But they're singing this song and they're telling the Lord, you're too good to be true. You're a fake. They didn't say that, but they might as well have said he was a fake. You're a fake. You're not real. You're too good to be true. It's hard to believe. A prophet of God said that sin was unbelief.
Yes.
If you don't have belief, you have the opposite. You have sin. But the Bible says, he that's born of God sinneth not. Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sorry, I must be the longest-winded preacher in the world. It normally takes the time that I take. I'm sorry. You know, maybe when we get back sometime in church, we'll worship the Lord again, we'll thank him. You know, we are very privileged people. Why are we very privileged people? We're very privileged because man was born at the stake for this word. Man gave their lives that we would have this word. You know, we ought to be in this word every day. All day. We ought to be hungering after it. May God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer and I'm going to ask you to come. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to try to say something to your people. And Lord, may they blank out anything that I have said that ought not to be said. But Lord, may you come tell us and visit us, Lord, and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know for you seek such to worship you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to hide your word in our hearts, that we wouldn't sin against you. And Lord, we know today that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we know, Lord, that there's a sanctification work done in our lives because of your word and because of your truth. And we pray, Lord, that every person that's in this room will know of that sanctifying power and that truth, Lord, that makes us free. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord. Your word says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I thank you, Lord, for making us free. I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I pray, God, that it'll go with each one.
Yes.
And rest, your spirit will rest upon us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Gary.
Smelling, then where were they hearing? You know, one person.
soon suffocate. You know, so even the parts of maybe not invisible, but you know what? I don't believe you can have Christ living in you without having an expression.
Right.
It has Amen. Got Christ will express himself in you. If the river of life comes forth, and it's got to come forth, and you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes what the devil does, he blocks the wells.
That's right.
And you know, Abraham built wells for him and for his family and for his workers. And you know what happened? The enemies filled them in.
Right.
The enemies blocked up the wells. And when there was no wells to stop the water, and when there was no water, there was no life. But Isaac digged again his father's wells.
Amen.
And the water came forth. And that's maybe what we need. We maybe need to unplug the wells. We needed Isaac to come forward and start digging out the wells that are unblocked. Because you know, not only will that life minister to you, but that life will also minister to me, and minister to your brother, and minister to your sister. This water is freely given, and it's for all. It's not just for one person, it's for all. So I'll really encourage you this morning, if you've got something you'd like to do, share it with us. We all can be blessed by your ministry. And your ministry might not be what everyone else's ministry is. You could play an instrument. You could maybe, as a brother Billy read this morning, about a word fitly spoken, how good is it? You maybe just have a word that you want to share. And you might not realise how much that could help someone. You know, many times I've said something and haven't even realised it's said. If somebody comes and says, you know, the Lord really spoke to me through that, and I wasn't even aware of it. And the same, I'm sure everybody's got a testimony like that. But I really want to encourage you, and especially the sisters, because sometimes, you know, maybe the sisters don't maybe get to express it as they would, but you've got a testimony. A brother Darrell there had a testimony this morning, our son Timothy, and everything came back there. That's wonderful. It's good to remind ourselves what the Lord has done. When the God answers prayer, give him the glory for it.
Amen.
It might be something small, but you know, the small things, if you're faithful to the small things, God will be faithful towards you in the big things.
Right.
You know, and it's just something that, you know, but I really do believe that you can't have a living life inside you without a manifestation. It has to be a manifestation of that life. And it's not good. If you've been suppressed, I apologise to you. We're going to unblock the wells. We're going to encourage you to come forth and share with us. And you know, it can be any time at all, just come on. You know, maybe it's good to break tradition. This morning I was thinking about the children coming forward. I should maybe leave it till after the service and lift the collection. I was thinking that. And there, Brother John has said that this morning, and I believe it's a confirmation that maybe we don't always have to have things in order the way that they are. You know, sometimes we can be out of order as far as we would see. You know, get ourselves out of the way and let God have his way. Well, not be good, praise God. And you know, sometimes you're just thinking to yourself too, I was thinking to myself as well. But I hope Brother John doesn't think I'm eating until it's too much time for his preaching. But, you know, unless things can be in your head, but you know, maybe it can be up to us maybe to stand aside. If the preacher wants to continue on with that, then he's got the opportunity as well to continue on with worship or praise. But I really do believe the Lord wants our worship. And I really do believe that the Lord wants our praise. Praise. Now, maybe, Terry, can you play that hymn, How Great Thou Art, on the 40th leaf lot? Help us with it. Russell, can you get the words? We'll try and sing this here if Terry can help us. And you know, it's been a great blessing having our brother Terry play this accordion. And you know, I come in this morning and he was playing that tune that sang last week. But she was, what's that? She touched the hem of his garment. Was one of them, and Terry was playing it. You know, I can't play it when he's hard. You know, but there's Terry. He's a lot more talented than me, and he was playing that tune. So, and again, if you've got something, maybe listen, if you can praise the Lord or express whatever way you worship the Lord and praise the Lord, we certainly want to hear for it. And it'd be great to know if we had more instruments playing. I really think that's good. And if anybody thinks they would like to lead a meeting, and you know, personally speaking, I'm not the pastor, but I believe it's good for a man to do the leading. You know, that's my opinion. I'm not the pastor here, but I believe it was a brother, and he would like to lead a few meetings that would really help me out, to be honest. There's this morning, my wife was working last night, the children's here at the front, and it's hard keeping an eye on children all under the age, nearly 10 or 11, I